One of the stories leading into you today, governments across this nation with X-ray vans going all over the place. I mean, this is amazing, Catherine.
Well, you know, the thought that we would get to that point in this country, that we would have both, but see, two things have to come together, George, for that to happen. You have to have the technology, and you have to have the political will to use it. And I guess there's a third thing. You have to have a population that is subdued enough and willing enough to sit back and let you use the technology that you've got. And I think there's really two pieces to that last important component. That is, number one, people don't know it's happening. I mean, if somebody's driving next to me on the street and they've got an X-ray vision van, I'm not going to know that. I mean, they're not going to have a big sign on there or a big, you know, siren moving around the top of the vehicle to tell me that. So a lot of this stuff is moving forward in secrecy. And then there's this interesting phenomenon that I've noticed with the public, with, you know, even me, I mean, all of us. If something has been in place and we haven't known about it, mainly because they've introduced it secretly,
right,
and then we later find out, but they say, oh, yeah, we've been doing that for months, then it kind of takes
or
the
years.
Wind out of your
or,
opposition.
Yeah. Or years, right?
Yeah. It just takes the wind out of your sails. You go, oh, instead of thinking, wait a minute, I'm going to fight that, if it's brand new, people have this feeling that it can be fought. But all you have to do to make all of us feel impotent is to simply say, oh, that old thing, that's been around for months or years. Where have you been? And then people, instead of fighting, they go, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm the one who's clueless here.
Good point.
And that strategy has been so incredibly effective with these stealthy technologies that by the time we hear about them, they're already purchased, they're already deployed, they're already driving on our streets, and they're already X-raying us. And I think the average person thinks there's nothing we can do about it.
You know, one would say on one hand, okay, so we've got these vans driving around, they're looking for drugs and trucks, they're looking for illegals hiding in trucks. That's probably a pretty good thing. We want to catch them. We want to catch, you know, the injustice here. But on the other hand, what's to stop these guys in these vans from peering into your car just for fun?
Well, you know, we know in China, this is a very interesting story, that Shenzhen, China is one of the most surveilled cities on the face of the globe. In Shenzhen, China, they have 200,000 video cameras, mind-blowing number of cameras. Shenzhen is kind of a high-tech, high-finance Wall Street.
Heck,
kind of
you're in trouble there in China if you sing karaoke these days, you know?
Yeah, yeah, potentially. So in Shenzhen, they have these cameras, and the police, the Chinese Communist government officials and the police, have the ability to train these cameras on so-called lawbreakers. Now, in China, simply speaking out against the government's policies can get you, you know, arrested and sent off to a detention camp for who knows how long. You can get disappeared over there. But what they found was that the cops, these police officers, were using the swivel cameras to do what? To look into women's bedrooms.
No. No.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So, you know, it raises, there's sort of two interesting pieces with the China story. Is, you know, number one, they were just abusing it because they could. And we've got story after story, case after case of this happening, of people just exercising their own prurient interest to watch other people. It's a natural, albeit disgusting, tendency that people have. And if you give them unfettered access to other people's information and other people's stuff, many people will abuse it. It's just a fact of life. It's one of the reasons you don't want to give those people that kind of power. But there's a second piece specific to China that has me concerned about the U.S. as well.
What's that?
That is using these technologies to track down and persecute people who disagree with the government. You've got legitimate dissent in China. You've got dissidents. I mean, look back at 1989 when they literally shot protesters in the streets in Tiananmen Square. And if people have forgotten that incident, you know, go on startpage.com and look it up. You know, I don't send people to Google. But, you know, look it up. Look at the pictures and see how valid the concerns of the Chinese people are. And yet within China, George, if you log on to a search engine in China and you look up Tiananmen Square, you won't see anything about the massacres because they censor it all. They filter it. It's all removed. And if you try to post something about that on your website or print out flyers or discuss it with the media, then you could be in violation of Chinese law. So that's the kind of thing that gets me nervous here in the U.S., because as we move more and more to becoming a sort of a big brother, top-down, surveillance-based police state, I could see something like that happening here. You know, dissent is no longer tolerated. No more protests, Catherine Albrecht. You know, put the picket sign away or you're going to Guantanamo.